Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster. This week, I thought I'd do a little bit of a blast from the past, a little bit of a reboot, a little bit of a throwback. Yes, you may have spotted that we don't have any new episodes this week, and I wanted to basically do a repeat. But I thought I'd find such a good episode that you would forgive me. So if you haven't heard this episode before, you're in for a treat. If you have, how about you remind yourself and have another listen? This is on My Mate Bought a Toaster from, I believe, 2 years ago, from series three. Gosh, maybe it's 3 years ago. Let's not put numbers on it. She is a hero. She's an icon. She's one of my favourite comedy voices out there. And her episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster did not disappoint. It's Melga Droitsch.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Fass talking to these funny people. He's asking what they find in the town stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Toaster for my love, thank God, toaster.
Hello, welcome back to My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh my goodness, I'm very, very excited to welcome this week's guest. She is, I mean, can we throw in a national treasure, Melga Droitsch? Can we?
That makes me sound old, Tom.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
You have to sound very old.
Over 70 for that. Okay, fine. She's a national treasure in waiting. She's brilliant. She's wonderful. I love her to bits. And I've been harassing your people for absolutely months, Melga Droitsch.
My people, i.e. me. Stop harassing me. Tom, before we start, I owe you an apology, my friend. Can I just get this off my chest before we start?
Oh, excellent. Finally. I don't know what it's for, but yeah, finally. Good.
So the pair of us, you and I, were involved in a charity bike ride about three or 4 years ago. Remember this? Do you remember? The amazing bike ride, which is it's for the Prince's Trust, and it's palace to palace. Yeah. So you go from Buckingham Palace to Windsor Castle. It's a great bike ride, really good fun. So,
really good fun. And it's a long ride though, isn't it, Mel? It's a long ride.
It's quite a long ride. It's probably, what is it, 49 miles is coming to mind.
40. It's 45.
Like that. But,
which is, you know, it's fine if you're on good kit, you're on a good bike that's properly, you know.
That fits you.
Yeah.
So long story short, Tom, I do apologise. It was very, very early in the morning and we all were stumbling around the radio station that we were both working for, that you're still working for. I'm not anymore. That's another story.
This is how you lost the job. You mess with Price's bike, you lose the gig.
And they said, the guy just said, oh yeah, your bike's over there. So I thought, oh, brilliant. I went and grabbed the nearest bike. And I did sort of think about 20 miles in, God, this bike's a bit big. I'm having problems getting my toes down onto the pedal, but it's good. It's stretching my legs out. That's good. Mate, I was on your bike and you were on mine. How was your journey?
If you can imagine like a sort of Parisian clown, you know, on the tiny little tiny thing all the way from Buckingham Palace to Windsor. And also to sort of add this in to it did look like I'd stolen a child's bike. Also, what you have to understand is that I was on the breakfast show that morning. So you took off at 7 o'clock, right? Off you went to Windsor.
Mm. It was dark.
Right. Very quiet. Lots of you in a big gang. So you're in a sort of peloton. Which is obviously French for peloton. And I, however, had to finish my show and then I had to get on this child's bike in full traffic. I'd imagined in my head that the roads would be closed.
They'd close them for you, Tom.
I mean, they talk about the illness of DJ narcissism. I thought they're going to close the road from Buckpal to Windsor Pal and TP's just going to hop on the bike and it's all going to be fine. It was me. All right.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
And in
I'm
full so traffic.
Sorry. Yeah.
Full traffic. And it took me 4 hours, and which is, I think is too long. I think it should for us even, you know, I'm not a cyclist.
It took us two, mate. Took us two tops.
Hmm. Well, it's because I had to stop and curse your name every 3 to 4 minutes. Fucking good. I had to stop watching the Bake Off. I had anything you do on TV on. I can't see her now because I instantly feel the blisters back in the crotchal regions.
Were your knees going up by your ears because the bike was so small? Was it like that? Like a sort of, like those hipsters in Shoreditch used to ride, those very stupid little tiny bikes.
Yeah. If I had a beard and a tattoo, I could have looked like a legit hipster. But as it was, I just looked like a tired dad. I looked like, you know, the marathon when people dress as like, they dress as a piano to do the marathon. People thought it was some sort of novelty thing. So do you know what? I think I got quite a lot of kudos for it.
Did you end up with silver foil around you? But to prevent the hypothermia, it was one of those, wasn't it? I'm really, really sorry. You were very good about it then, but I've never properly had the full space and time to apologise. My bike ride was actually really quite good.
I don't need to know about how your bike ride went.
The bike wasn't a bit big, but it was good. It was good. The wheels were nice and big.
But didn't you have an incident? And we will get onto the podcast in a sec. Sure. Who cares about what Mel bought? Didn't you have an incident where someone had a crash?
Yes, Tom. It was outside Bentalls in Kingston. There was a pile-up as everyone was trying to cross the road.
Yes.
And this poor chap, his feet were in those...
Yes.
You know, what they called?
Let's just say peloton again, because I like saying peloton. That's completely the wrong word, yeah.
Gilets jaunes. No, his feet were in toe clips. And he was saying, poor bloke, he was just going, move, everyone move, because he couldn't get his feet out of the toe clips.
So he knew it was coming. He knew disaster was coming.
He knew it was coming. And then the person next to him heard a crunch of bones, literally a crunch of bones, as he went very, very slowly to the ground with the feet still in the toe clips.
Oh, Lord,
he was in Kingston General Hospital for about 3 months. And I was in touch with him for many months. We kept in touch because I was...
Three months. Wow. Oh, man.
It was awful. It was so bad, Tom. Yeah. And this was on this really brilliant, positive, jolly bike ride, you know, to raise money.
Yes.
Poor chap.
But also,
his son was with him. So,
But also, the moment where he something like that happens and you're lying in agony, and then Mel off of, you know, at the time, Bake Off looms over your head. How are you? All right. What?
Horrible hallucination. Like your worst dream, the greasy face looming in.
I do think that there's I think there's a TV show in Celebrity St. John's Ambulance.
That's a great idea, Tom. What's the format? You train up and then you go.
Train up a bunch of people like you know.
Gemma Collins.
You get Gemma Collins in, yeah. And you go and help, but with minor injuries, you know, like a grazed elbow or maybe a collarbone or something. Nothing too serious. We don't want anyone turning up at a pilot or something, but, you know, keep it light.
I was constantly having to visit St. John's ambulance tents with my comedy partner, Sue Perkins, because she's very, very accident prone.
Oh, is she?
Oh, Tom, the amount of time I've spent in a John's ambulance tent with that woman.
She's one of the clumsies.
She's a clumsy. The last one, I think, was at a bonfire night. Piece of ash in the eye.
No.
Yes, piece of ash in the eye, in the tent. I missed the whole blooming firework.
How do people do that?
I don't know. Ask Sue Perkins. I know.
Right, listen, we've got to crack on. I could gossip about the St. John's Ambulance for hours, but that's not what the podcast is. St. John's Ambulance podcast, we'll do that another time. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to jump into some random bits. Very, very recently, in fact, we're going into December 2020.
I'm worried now. It's not rude, is it?
Well, we'll see, shall we? I mean, we've got a lovely set of four plant hangers.
Macrame.
It's set for hanging planter basket decorative flower pot. So that's, I mean, that's lovely. Do you like your flower pots?
Oh no, this is absolute. Do you know? But listen, I think we're all purchasing slightly random things, aren't we, at the moment with the world the way it is, slightly skewed.
Yes.
So I might possibly have had a little bit, I'm not going to say senior moment, I'm going to say a perimenopausal moment.
Okay.
I'm going to say that possibly my hormonal equilibrium was slightly out of whack. And that's why I have opened it, but I was so depressed when I opened it and I thought, oh God, why did I buy that?
Is this your first foray into being a...
Into macrame.
It's a macrame world. Define macrame for me, please, because I might be thinking of something else. What exactly is macrame, please?
I don't know. I think it involves string, and it's made of string. If you can imagine, do you remember a sitcom called Robin's Nest? Way, way back. You'll be too young, Tom. It was in the 70s. Too young. Mm-hmm. So it was a sitcom called Robin's Nest, quite a wholesome sitcom. And Robin's Nest was a restaurant. And it had gingham tablecloths and candles in bottles with the wax running down the bottle to make it look sort of a bit Spanish.
Classic, yeah. That was the definition of exotic, certainly in the 80s as well, when I was growing up, yes.
Exactly. And in Robin's Nest, there would also have been the macrame I can't remember what they are. What are they? Plant pot holders. Well, I'm going to have to get them out.
I just imagined that this was some sort of that you what you were talking about was getting into flowers and plants and being a bit green fingered. Is it green fingered and all that stuff? But no, this is you getting into, because there's more things. 20th of December, everyone's gearing up for Christmas. What's Mel doing? She's buying a crochet hook set.
Sounds like something out of Vera Drake, doesn't it? Now listen. Okay, I'm going to come clean. My best friend, well, one of my best friends called Sid, who I was at school with, is a demon crocheter, okay? She's just made an amazing, she sent me a picture of it. It's like, it's a double bed-sized blanket and it's a rainbow. It goes through, Richard of York gave Battle in Bane, it goes through from Richard, red, orange, all the way up to the last one, Violet, whatever it is.
Right.
Vane, Battle in Bane, Vane, yes. Violet, yeah.
Do the poem for us properly, please, because now I'm just distracted by the poem. How does it go?
Richard of York gave Battle in Vane. That was the 70s poem anyway. Fine. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet,
in vain, indigo.
Indigo violet.
Violet. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So she's done that, and it is absolutely stunning. Wow. I'm not going to lie. It's the green-eyed monster. I'm thinking, well, if yes. Sid can do crocheting, then I can do crocheting.
Right.
So I've got the hooks. So, I haven't opened them.
Right. That's my next question. Have you got into? Have you done it? Well, there's something behind you. We can see on the video call now. What's that on the chair behind you? Or is that,
oh, now hang on. That's these. Just a rug. That Sue Perkins gave me that. Oh, this okay. is, I'm going to put it on. This is, oh my God. This
sure,
is,
are we shawling?
We're shawling, mate. Oh. But it's beyond shawl, can I just say? It's yes. beyond ruddy shawl.
It's beautiful. So, it's lovely red and nice? White and black stripes and a bit green in there as well. Oh, it looks thick. Oh, it's like Lenny Kravitz's scarf now.
It's yes. a Kravitz scarf, mate. See what I've done?
Oh, you've Kravitz the scarf. You've made yourself look tiny.
I've Kravitz.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
Now, listen, I actually did open the box of the crochet hooks and I had a peek right. inside and I got so scared because there's a range of them. I didn't realise when I purchased that, you never do, they never give you these details, how many crochet hooks there would actually be inside. Well, it probably said, but I ignored it. And there's one, yeah. There's a really, really thin one. There's a really, really thin one. And then there's a really sinister fat. They go really fat, the crochet
yeah.
hooks. And
I yeah, they're quite vibrant. 14. You've got 14
oh,
in
14.
There.
Aluminium.
Yeah. Also, you've got here, look, on the 18th of December, knitting for absolute beginners. I like that you might have looked at for beginners and gone, no, absolute beginners for me. I want the knitting for complete goobers, please. That's the option I'm after.
I've looked at page one and already it's giving me the fear.
But the problem is what you're doing is it's like your mate has got a gold medal for crochet with that rainbow throw. And you're saying, I want that. You've got years and years of training ahead of you. This is the problem with Amazon is that we say, I'm going to jump in. Yeah. Here we go. And then the training begins, not to crush your dreams.
Do you know what? I really do think though, because I've tried to learn Polish as well. I speak a bit of Polish because my dad was Polish and I've tried to buff up my Polish skills online. Are we talking? Are you mentioning lockdown, Tom?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a thing that's happened for sure.
Okay. So during lockdown, I have tried to buff up my Polish language skills, joined an online class, and then they set you homework, obviously. I just think it's really hard to learn anything unless you're face to face to someone. Sorry, that's a really bad excuse. So the knitting book, for example, I can't learn anything.
So you need some knitting classes, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I need to go into a ruddy class and be with the gang.
What would the Mel Gudrich of 10 years ago said if she saw you sitting one Christmas with a Lenny Kravitz throw over your lap and knitting needles in front of you, sort of idly crocheting your life away? What would that person have said? Would she have said, yes, that's exactly what we were aiming at. Good work, Mel. Or would she have said?
I love talking about oneself in the third person. I love that. she'd have said, she wouldn't have been surprised.
Oh,
she'd
right.
Said,
okay.
Yeah. She'd have said, yeah, I knew you'd always come to that in a sort of slightly, you know,
not surprised at all. But is it a part? Is part of it having your kids a bit older? How old are your kids now?
So they're now 17 and 18.
Right. So there's a bit more time on your hands now.
That's the thing. That is the worry. And literally, within a few months, we're going to be, one is going to be definitely out of the nest. One is so desperate to get out of this lockdown nest, you know, bless her. And the other will be, you know, peeking over the edge and brushing down her wings. So yes, I need some things, mate. I need some work,
yeah,
and I need some hobbies and some things.
I think, you know, what you need to do is crochet yourself a giant child. You can just sit it on the sofa, just hold it. Is that too bleak? I've gone a bit bleak there, haven't I? Sorry.
Slightly bleak, mate, but sorry. I quite like that.
It's a thought. All right, okay, well, let's move on from the crochet, shall we, and the knitting. 21st of December. Ooh, this was running late, look. Really saying something. Sarah and Karen, I bet I've said that wrong. Is it Sarah and Karen? Our Bananarama story.
Yeah, I got that from my sister, actually. That was a late Christmas present. It was one of those Christmas presents where you realise that they've got you something quite good and you need to buff up what you've got them.
Yes.
Do you know that thing?
Yes.
So you go into your blooming onlines and try and buff it out with something.
Yeah.
So I gave her last year, which is a brilliant book, the Viv Albertine book. Clothes, 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 Boys, Boys, Boys. Brilliant, seminal book about growing up in the 70s and being a punk in the 70s. And anyone out there who's looking for that kind of book, just read it. Viv Albertine is astonishingly brilliant as a writer. Anyway,
I thought,
let's carry on the theme of last year. I want a girl group and I want something a little bit with a bit of edge, actually. And somebody suggested the Bananarama book. I haven't read it yet. I'm waiting for my sister to read it and then she'll lend it to me.
Yeah, that's a classic. Buying books for, I do it with my wife, do it with my brother as well all the time. Yeah. Buying the books, I'm like, I just, it's boomerang presenting.
Is that what it is?
I've just made that up, but I'm going to go with it.
I like it, Tom.
You hand it over and you're like, I just thought you might be interested, my wife, in Sam Warburton, the Welsh rugby captain. And if you're not, let me sort of do a York notes on it for you. Okay, good. Bananarama, very nice. Is it quite... quite dark stories going on with Bananarama, because I would assume just sort of nicely kind of polished sheens,
lovely 80s dungarees, rah-rah skirt.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, I think there's an edge there, and as I say, I haven't read it yet, because one of them, Siobhan Fahey, she went off, she had a bit of a solo thing going on, didn't she, and she married Dave Stewart from Eurythmics.
Siobhan did,
and she became part of Shakespeare's sister.
I bloody love Shakespeare's sister. Hormonally Yours, what an album.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
An album.
I must delve back into a bit of SS, actually. Actually, that sounds very wrong.
I love the SS. I had all the SS kit. I used to have all the SS shirts when I was younger. I'm just reminded when you were talking about the Bananarama book, you had this kind of, you know, I haven't read it. And it just reminded me of university, of all my seminars at university. Oh, so they're going,
Tom,
you know, I would say that the themes broadly are there. And based, literally, all I'm saying is, based on what I've looked at it, I've literally looked at it. And that's all I've got for you.
I did many of my Italian, tutorials, whatever you call them, sessions, having only read the cover. Quite literally. So I knew the name of the author. It's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing. And also, I think students really do work hard these days.
Yeah. Well, they have to actually properly pay back in our day.
Exactly. And I feel really, I just feel embarrassed sort of talking about that. Do you ever get nightmares where you're transported back to being a student and you haven't done the work?
Yeah. There's one moment that really strikes me. It was doing Chaucer. And this is quite... it's sort of a rude story, but basically we were sitting in a seminar and there were probably 11 of us in a seminar in a circle in a small room. And this is when I just arrived from private school, convinced, you know, the absolute wind in my sails, the entitled confidence of a disgusting 18-year-old Tory from South Wales. Very much a different man now, but at the time I was pretty gross. And I just thought I was great. And I listened to these series of people from completely different backgrounds. It was Warwick University, but not the most diverse place, but still people from different backgrounds, you know, things like Gloucester. And they were just so much more intelligent than me, like the eloquence and the art. Yeah. And I was sitting there going, and it really dawned on me in the first like 3 minutes of my time at work. I was like, I am way out of my fucking depth here. And as I was sitting, this is absolutely true, Mal. I'm sitting there, I'm slouched back like this, right? And I'm wearing my these khaki trousers. combats. And I looked down and they had button flies and I saw, I can't believe I'm telling you this, I saw one lone, very thick pube just poking out of the buttons. Really like a sapling.
Right? Oh, and I'm sitting back and I'm like this. So this is at the moment where I start to think I shouldn't be here. This is not. And I looked, I was like, holy shit. So I had to, what I did in the first 10 minutes of my first ever seminar at Warwick University was pluck a pube. I had to lower my book across it and just, no, I had to yank it out. I had to probably get rid of it because it was just, I couldn't thumb it back into the flies, could I?
And did anyone see? Somebody must have seen.
I literally had my eyes closed for the whole seminar after it happened. So I didn't look up. I couldn't open my eyes and look again. I just looked down, did it, and then just sort of.
That's brilliant, Tom. That is absolutely marvellous. And was that a kind of, what sort of a moment was that? Was that just it was a salutary bringing you down to earth moment, or what was it for you?
Painful. Well, it was very painful.
They're hard to get out as well.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
when you're younger. Those ones. Different story.
Absolutely. Those are, you know, yeah, those are strong. Forget sapling. Those are strong boys. Those are in there for the long term.
Trunks.
And this is obviously, this is 90s. This is before people stupidly started trimming their bits, you know, which I'm,
no.
you know, this is when we still had, anyway, back in the
I've
day.
Never, I've never done that. And the last time I had my, bikini line done, which, you know, is a wax job, hot wax and strips, was probably in the 90s, actually. It was so ruddy painful.
Horrendous.
Really painful.
The other thing I have done, and we will get back to the show at some stage, is every now and again I've had to do a sex scene on TV because, you know, I like doing porn. But like, for example, I did years ago, Secret Diary of a Call Girl with Billy Piper. I did a big sex scene with Billy Piper.
Oh,
and
gosh,
I have a very hirsute
crack. Back.
Well, that too, but back, right? The back looks like a dog's bed, okay? It's properly hit. And I had to have the full sugar wax across my entire back, and it is still the singularly most painful experience of my life.
I've never had sugar wax, but is it
the same? I've had the wax as well now, because I had to do it a few times, different scenes where I've had to be topless on TV, and it's horrible.
awful. And they literally try and sugar it, don't they, by calling it sugar wax, so you somehow think, oh, it's going to be a better experience than the normal wax.
Yeah,
and it's just not. It's terrible. I've never had the sugar wax. But my friend, really old friend, has got a very hairy back and shoulders, and he was really self-conscious about it for years. He had the full laser job.
Yeah, I'm going to get that done.
Yeah, and actually, he will admit it's changed his life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. He totally swears by it. I might have my legs done, actually. I wouldn't mind a laser leggy.
Well, yeah, and you can crochet while you're getting it done. Just sit there.
I can crochet the hairs. Yes. Oh, that's what you're saying.
Use the hairs. That's better. It comes to something when there's a shop near us what does the laser treatment, and they put a big sign up in their window just before lockdown saying, like, with a massive discount, because bless them, they're probably struggling time. Big sign up. And I got a text, I swear to you, this is true. I got texted by 5 different mums who know about my hirsute back problem saying, oh, have you seen this? I got photographs sent to me by 5 different mums saying, have you seen they're doing it? I am known as a local gorilla. Yeah.
Tom.
This podcast won't have helped them.
No, it's good to talk. It's good to talk about it.
Good to talk about these things.
Yeah.
What else have we got? House of Disaster Moomin Snork Maiden LED light. A Moomin LED light. Now, this is bought, and you cannot use the Christmas excuse because you're now in the 4th of January 2021 and you're buying LED Moomins. Explain yourself, please.
Okay, so this was for my daughter's 17th birthday.
Okay, good. Seems appropriate. Yeah, I
now,
can see here.
In that way that happens with fads and things like that, the teens now are apparently quite into the Moomins. So I gave her, a Moomins plushie, which is possibly my least favourite word, and I can't look you in the eye as I say the word.
Oh, yes.
A plushie. Do you know what those are?
Like a doll thing or something?
They're like a big spongy, sort of velour-y type.
Oh, no thanks.
Very particular type of toy.
Right.
And for example, you get all the emojis in plushy form now.
That's so fucking old. We're complaining. Yeah. We're complaining about a lack of pubes, and now, so an emoji toy, an emoji toy. What?
So she's also got. This is embarrassing. I can't believe I'm telling you this, but she's also got, you know, the emoji poo, the triangular brown thing with the face going whatever. She's got a plushie. Wow. Plushies are big, Tom. Right. Plushies are big. Your children probably aren't into them yet,
but it's coming.
It's coming.
Coming down the line. So she turns 17.
Turns 17, and
you,
she
driving lessons, a car? No. I've got your big turd and a Moomin. Thanks, mummy.
I don't know what. Listen, it's lockdown. I'm blaming lockdown for everything. But we are reading the Moomins to each other in voices of an evening. Sorry.
I think the nation now needs to hear what a Moomin voice sounds like.
So Moomin, oh no, this is embarrassing. So Moomin Mama's very kind of little bit no nonsense, slightly sort of Keely Hawes,
yes,
slightly Keely Hawes in the Dorrells, that kind of voice.
Oh, I love Keely Hawes.
Mate.
What other Moomin characters do? What do you? Don't worry. By all means, get it. It might be your agency. No. If he's talking about Moomins, pull out. Get away. Oh, goodness.
I've declined. Mm-hmm. No, it's a lovely friend. But he likes to talk.
Get him on. It's podcasts.
But it was one of those. Do you have those friends where I've got two friends? They're both actors, actually. And obviously, at the moment, work is a bit thin on the ground. Mm-hmm. And I know, and I adore them from the very pit of my heart. But when they phone, you look at the clock and you think, can I spare 45 minutes? Because this chat is going to be at least 45. Do you know what I'm saying?
One of my best friends, and I'm going to name her because she's been on the podcast, Lizzie Roper. I don't know if you know Lizzie Roper.
I'm obsessed with Roper.
We love Lizzie. She's one of my bestie mates, and she phones me, and I'm like, I look at the phone and I look at the clock, and I'm like, I'm not sure I can fit. I'm homeschooling in 2 hours. Not sure I can fit you in.
I can imagine the Roper chat is endless, actually.
Wonderful.
And tangential, massively tangential.
Tangential, filthy, furious.
Brilliant.
Everything
about
her.
She's marvelous. I like Lizzie Roper very much. Please send her my love.
I will absolutely do that.
Yeah, yes. No, she's a cracker. Do you answer on your phone if there's an unknown number?
Yeah, of course. I'm an actor. I'm desperate to. It could be. Oh, hi. You know, you did that self-tape 2 years ago. It's time. Yeah, of course I do.
Do you?
I bet you don't, though, do you? I bet you're suspicious.
Well, I don't know. I'm always a bit. I think it's going to be a scam. I'm always convinced it's an 0203. Is 0203. Is 0203 officially a thing now? Is that our code?
I never answer those ones. No, 0203 is a scam call.
What is it? So it is a scam call. Thank you very much.
Google the number, but you can do this. If you get a scam call, you'll see a number pops in. No, gesticulating with fury about the drunk calls. You just Google the number, cut and paste the number. I mean, having spoken to you now, I know about your technical abilities.
That's the message coming through. It'll be a
classic,
message.
Classic.
And the message.
That's how long the message has been.
Yes. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. And there'll be, I mean, he's a brilliant actor, and there will be 5 impressions in there, 6 different accents. It'll be hilarious.
He needs to work, though. He needs to work. For God's sake.
I know.
If I have to do another self-tape, I'm going to, and it's dry. All my actor friends are doing them, and you have to get you can't get another actor to come in and read on the other side of the camera. So you have to get your loved ones to do it. And I was doing a self-tape with Beth last week, and her character kept dropping the N-bomb, kept saying the N-word. And Beth was Beth was like, I can't.
Well, that's awful, Tom. But I have to say, I've never, ever been successful in an audition, pretty much in an audition anyway, but certainly in a self-tape. Oh, God, no way.
The filth.
No,
but this is interesting. This is interesting about your career, because the acting thing was going, like, you're doing bits and bobs with comedy sketches and like, you know, stuff was happening, and then suddenly along comes Bake Off, and it's just like this explosion. Does it still, like?
I can't make head and a tail. No, quite literally. So I mean, series one was appalling. Absolutely dry as a bone. No one knew what they were doing. It was just appalling. And I kept saying to Sue, In fact, my sister really, really rips the piss out of me because I would phone her every night and just say, it's the worst thing I've ever done. It's the worst thing I've ever done. It's the worst thing I've ever done. And she, yeah, she's heard this from me all her life. Yeah, it's the worst thing I've ever done. And I was saying, no, but seriously, this is the worst thing I've ever been involved with. And Sue and I would phone each other and go, oh my God, when's it coming out? Oh my God.
No. Why?
It's fine. No one will see it. No one will see it. It's fine. Don't worry. You know, we paid a bit of mortgage, you know, blah, blah, blah. It'll go under totally under the, you know, whatever the expression is,
the radar.
Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
That was very sweet of you because you just went radar in a very nice way, gentle way.
I'm very familiar with not, my words run out all the time. It's a living nightmare. I need a word assistant everywhere I fucking go. It's a nightmare. So, that's fascinating.
So, yeah, literally. And then it just turned into this strange old thing. I mean, it was so weird. Life is brilliant like that, though, isn't it? I mean, it's... Oh, there he is again.
Is it? He's back on it. Do you want to answer? I mean, we'll just bring him in.
No, it's fine.
Well, it did very well. It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, but so surprising. Mm. And from one of those things that you kind of go... Oh God! You know, and then you find yourself slightly going, yeah. Well, yeah, it's back on a Tuesday. If you find yourself, we're so fickle, aren't we? We're so fickle.
And then suddenly, oh, it's BBC One. Oh yes, it's fine. Yeah, then okay.
But to be honest, though, seriously, I think it did get better. I think Series One was pretty dry. There's nary a gag in sight because those were all cut out. They probably weren't good enough to make the cut. I'm not saying they were brilliant, but there was nary a gag. Mm. And I think it just found its feet in Series 3, probably.
Yeah. But that often happens with those shows. They peak about Series 3. X Factor did it and loads of shows like that. Series 3, 4, 5, somewhere around then.
Yeah.
Okay, look, come on. We've got to get back to the show, Margot Deutsch.
Come on.
Let's just have a quick look before we finish. Let's look at 2021. Now, here's a thing which has popped up a few times. And... Loads of people are doing this. Well, no, this, I don't think there's any shame here. I think this might
be... Is it rude? Is it Viagra or something? No.
You have bought so much Viagra. No, you have bought Born to Swim Wild 2021 Journal, your cold outdoor swimming adventures in 2021, whether in an ocean, lake or river, a perfect logbook gift for open swimming. There you are.
Now, again, this is my friend Sid, who crops up frequently... This episode will be called The One About Sid.
Really will. Mel Gaudreau happened to be on the show, but it was mainly about Sid. So in that you aspire to Sid's knitting skills, are you also aspiring to Sid's swimming skills?
Mate, she lives next to a river and she swims every day. You can hear the jealousy in my voice, can't you? There's an edge to it. There's an edge to my voice. Yeah. She has taken to cold water swimming. Boy, does she like to go on about it. Also, my mate Murray, who lives down in Southend, he has become a total devotee of cold water swimming and sends me videos like four times a week of him swimming. He looks 10 years younger, Tom. It's the answer. It is the answer to immortality.
The research is coming out. No, because you're basically cryogenically freezing yourself if you go in the winter.
Yes.
But there's so I live by the ponds up at...
Hampo.
Wood Green. You know the bits there. There's two reservoirs, East and West Reservoir and Wood Green, and they've also
swimming on them.
Yeah, they've got like a club. Yeah, so Beth, my wife, goes and swims there. I don't do it because I can't. I literally can't swim, by the way. Literally can't swim.
What?
Yeah. Well, that's another story for another day. But she goes up and she has become... She's just
obsessed.
She goes on about it. She talks
and
about
really
it.
Happy all the time. Annoyingly happy all the time because
annoyingly
of the endorphins.
Happy. Yeah, the endorphins.
Yeah.
And the research that's come out that says that it can delay, or they think that it might delay onset of
dementia.
I mean,
Totally. Also, I mean, the French do it a lot. Well, I've heard this, that they ice their breasts every morning, French women, to keep them in a northwards direction. Yeah. French women shower very, very cold water or indeed use ice to keep the old breasts perky perks. Apparently so. So cold water, there is research to say that there's, anti-aging.
You had
properties.
To look away from me when you explained that as well, by the way, which I enjoyed.
I know, I'm sorry. Tom.
So French women get on, they put cold taps.
Icy breasticles.
Onto the booby lalas of a morning to keep them...
To keep them happy and upwards facing. I once saw Angela Rippon in the nude, Tom. I'm not gonna lie to you. We were members of the same gym. Okay. Right. This is back in the '90s. Don't judge me. I had, you know, a bit of cash knocking around then mm-hmm. to go to a Ponzi gym. And I did. My friends absolutely ripped the piss out of me for it. It was only a 6-month contract. But I saw Rippon in the buff, okay. Oof. In the ladies. She looked sen ruddy stational.
Are you saying Angela Rippon?
She looked amazing.
In the '90s.
She looked amazing.
Are we talking tits here? Are we talking the whole thing? The whole
everything
package?
Upwards. She looked amazing. And I don't mind saying that because I think she'd be pleased to know that I clocked her across the floor of the ladies' changing rooms and I had admired her. She looked amazing, mate. And I bet she's an ice bucket. Dipper.
Yeah.
Slosher,
okay.
Whatever it is.
Okay, so get
the French.
Cold water on your boobs. So you haven't indulged in any old cold water. Well, I can tell you haven't because you would have talked about it hours ago on the podcast because that is the rule. It's a bit like having an electric car or 10 years ago having an iPhone.
Cold water swimming. Listen, my nearest natural water is the Brent Canal. The Brent Canal is tiny. Oh, that's a plane. God, I haven't heard one of those for ages.
I had that the other day.
That's actually freaked me out.
I know. I feel like an unfound tribe in the Amazon.
It's weird, isn't it? It's really weird. Brent Canal, tiny, like the colour of murk, the essence of murk, not as in Mercedes murk, as in brown, kind of, I mean, horrible, really disgusting. There's a smell coming off it.
Yes. Full, you're not swimming in that. Not
no
today.
Way. No. Full of tires, plastic bags, dog poo, probably human poo. Yeah. It's absolutely revolting. There's no way I'm going cold water swimming in that, my friend.
What is your exercise go-to then? How do you keep yourself fit?
Right. It's 90s. It's sheer 90s. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I want you to step back in time. Alison Limerick is featured quite heavily on this. It's Davina McCall, end of the 90s, power of three, and I'm doing one a day, half an hour a day, mate, absolutely religiously. And
just get them done every day.
Every ruddy day. There are three workouts on power of three.
Yeah.
There is the pump, which involves weights, cardio box, which involves a bit of boxing, and core stability, which I haven't quite fathomed yet. Doesn't do much for me, but I'm doing it religiously.
Wow. So that's you every day for half an hour done.
Half an hour, mate. Simple. Absolutely. Simple. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a really, I love a hot contemporary tip. Do watch a Davina McCall VHS from the 90s. Blow the dust off it.
Mate, it's so 90s. I love it. She's in Ugg boots at one point. It's that 90s. It's brilliant. No, I'm a real devotee.
We like to listen to Toast, and we're not the kind who would boast, and even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La 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 la.
We've got here, look at this, 27th of January, we've got natural liquid iron supplement.
Yeah, that's a perimenopausal thing. It's, you know, I mean, let's be honest, one's health has become quite top of the agenda, hasn't it, the last year. We're all totally understandably thinking, what's going on? So I'm thinking I've got to buff myself up. I'm doing a lot of vitamin D, a lot of Davina McCall 90s workouts, and some iron.
It's like, I feel like I've bumped into you at a festival. Yeah, it's good, mate. It's good. Doing a lot of vitamin D at the moment. I'm taking a lot of iron. Yeah, really living the dream. So I started taking a load of vitamin tablets and vitamin. I think I went for my B. I did B, C, D, right?
Oh, da, da, da. Da, da, da.
Exactly. You should only ever describe your vitamins. What's that? That's K. I know it doesn't work. I went for BCD and I don't know if they've made any difference. Don't you just piss it all out?
I know. And I've also been totally, what's the word again, Tom? I've been...
Radar?
Not radar, not the same one. Sure. Anyway, I've been persuaded. That's a boring one. I was trying to think of a more interesting one. Mm. I've been lured into this concept. Again, it's a musical theatre thing. If you dabble in musical theatre, suddenly you find a whole range of products you never even knew about.
Yes.
People are doing the big vape thing with some sort of oil. People are taking all sorts of goodness knows what. Anyway, I got into a thing called wellness formula. It's massively expensive. They come through the post in these enormous kind of plastic jars. Mm. And it looks like a suppository. It's so big.
Mm.
And I'm taking two of those a day, mate. Pop them down.
Oh, sure. So they're not actually suppositories.
And then you have that slightly kind of, you taste it for the rest of the day.
The irony thing, yeah. Does it make any difference?
No, I feel absolutely no difference. No difference. But I'm still taking them, and they're £40 a jar or something.
Well, you've got too much money, Milka. I've always said this about you. Also, interesting you should mention the musical theatre thing, because I didn't mention this, but this is back in December 2020.
Yeah.
The Rocky Horror Rocky Horror Picture Show single disc edition. And also women's colourful opaque denier tights.
I'm a tight denier.
You're a tight denier.
I deny their existence. Now, this is quite, this is a poignant lockdown moment, actually.
Oh, lovely.
So I thought my kids, 17, 18, they love a bit of, well, one of them loves a bit of musical theatre. And I thought, they've never seen Ruddy Rocky Horror. They've never actually seen it. So it was at a time, I think it was in October, where the cinemas were actually open.
Imagine.
And we were allowed to go. And we went to the cinema and we saw the Rocky Horror, the three of us.
Oh, gorgeous.
But there was no one else in the cinema.
Just the three of you. Oh,
just,
no, don't.
It was just the three of us. And you know what a normal Rocky Horror, I don't know about you, I mean, I was obsessed with Rocky Horror when I was a teen. And yeah. I used to go the whole time to our local cinema and we'd dress up, we'd do the lab.
It's a party, coats, yes.
Fishnet tights, we'd throw the rice, we've got all the callback, you know, da da da. And it was so devastating and poignant and sad, but also they did love it though.
Well, I mean, you can dance around the whole room. You've got a private cinema there. You've got to be positive about those things.
But I kept saying to the girls, and we'd made a bit of an effort to dress up because I thought, okay, it's not going to be.
Well, I can see that you bought these different coloured tights here.
We bought the deniers.
Yeah, the deniers. You've got different, you've got three, you've got purple, you've got orange.
Red.
And you've gone for dark red. Yes.
No, and I thought, we'll make a bit of an effort. We won't do the full, you know, because, you know, we'll be socially distanced from all the other people in the cinema. Mate, it was just the three of us.
Oh, no.
And I, on my own, because the girls don't know the call response thing yet because they haven't seen it enough. And I keep saying to them, the whole point about Rocky Horror is you go and you shout things at the screen. Yeah. So I was doing all the calls, but on my own.
With them just looking at you. Oh, Mel, that is poignant.
It's awful. It is poignant. So there's a point where the narrator goes, and the sky was heavy. And then you go, describe your balls. And then he goes, pendulous. That's one of the things in Rocky Horror. And I did this. And the girls, they thought I'd gone mad, Tom. They thought they needed to call the
St. John's Ambulance. Get them in.
St. John's Ambulance or the Usherette. Although there wasn't even an Usherette because it's all very socially distant. But mate, that is the memory I'm going to carry with me from this whole blooming experience.
Shouting, describe your balls.
Describe your balls.
Dressed up in an empty cinema. Oh, do you know what? Sometimes we have to leave this podcast on a beautiful image, and sometimes those images just appear naturally. It's happened. It doesn't get any better. It doesn't get any better. Mel Gudrich, thank you so much sharing your purchase history on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Sadly, we didn't get time to talk about the Bix. Maybe we'll talk about the biros next time. Come on for the season.
No, they're not biros, mate. They're permanent markers. I think you'll find they're permanent markers. An altogether different type of pen.
Okay, more on that next time on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Mel, thank you. What a pleasure that was.
So fun.
The wonderful Mel Gudrich. So good. I love it a bit. What a wonderful episode that was. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed our little blast from the past. That was from series, I believe, 3. It was episode 1, series 3. So back to present day next week. I'm very happy to have recently interviewed, today in fact, at the time of recording this, the very, very excellent humans from Clean Bandit. So Jack and Grace are going to be joining me next week for a little bit of a double trouble episode of My Mate Bought a Toaster. So Clean Bandit will be on the show next week, and then loads more guests still to come in the coming weeks. Thanks for listening, and thanks for subscribing, and I hope you're enjoying it. And if you do get a moment, do write us a lovely review, because it really helps, especially if you're a Spotify human. If you're on the old Spotify, a lovely review and a star thing
you know, preferably five, really makes a massive difference. So if you get a chance to do that, thank you very much indeed. See you soon. Bye.